Okay, I want to thank all of you for taking the time to gather together. I don't know about you, but I was overwhelmed with the singing of our first hymn. And there are times when that happens to me, and I think just the emotions of the moment really caught me off guard this morning. And our scripture reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 4, a passage that is certainly apropos given the circumstances of the time. Philippians chapter 4, I'll be reading verses 4 through 7. Hear now the word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is a first, I think, for all of us, having a virtual worship service, although I know that there are churches all across the country and probably around the world that are doing this very thing. People meeting in their own homes, but meeting via the tools that we have on the internet. And I wanted to be able to do this last week, but I'm not very technologically savvy, and wasn't prepared to do this. But it's good for us to be able to get together and maintain some measure of continuity as a church. And I want to express my appreciation once again for all of you for being a part of our service. It really does go without saying that these are difficult days. There are uncertain times. It's hard for us to live life as normal given the situation. We walk through the supermarket to pick up some groceries, and we hear somebody cough in the next aisle, and we wonder, is that person contagious? Should I walk down that aisle, and will I be infected with the virus? Or if we wake up in the morning and we sneeze or we have a sore throat, and we wonder the same thing. Would I test positive? Should I go up and have myself tested for the virus? It really is unsettling to watch the news, and I feel like perhaps maybe I've watched it too much because the reports that we get coming out of Italy or Spain or now New York City here in the United States has more cases of the coronavirus than any other nation. And New York City is they're closing down the city. I was in communication with a friend of mine who is a pastor down there. You've heard me mention him before, Kirk Vanderswaa. He's a pastor in Greenwich Village. And I sent him a text yesterday, and he indicated that he is in self-isolation because he woke up with a fever and a sore throat. And his wife, because she has some respiratory issues, she's staying in the other room as well as two of his sons. And so he's self-isolating here for this period of time. It's also in our own community, too, and in our own local hospital. And each day we read the news in the newspaper. We read of more cases that have been detected and more people and even those who have lost their lives because of the virus. And it's my hope and prayer, of course, that all of you will remain free, that you'll remain healthy, and that you're holding up during these days of isolation. We need to keep praying for each other and praying for those who have contracted the virus, but also we need to continue to pray for those who are on the front lines, our healthcare workers, our doctors and our nurses and the staff, whether it would be in our own hospital, our own community, or all around the world. The verses that I picked this morning are certainly apropos, and they're some of the most familiar in the New Testament, aren't they? They can also be some of the most comforting in times of trouble when these feelings of anxiety overwhelm us. And they're certainly apropos to find strength. It's certainly apropos for us to look to them for strength today. And as we do, there are two key takeaways that I want to call to our attention. And those are really my 2 points. The first is that God is not absent, that God is very much a part of the picture. And secondly, that we need to learn to trust him through these circumstances that we are dealing with. Now, you'll notice in these verses, and if you have your Bibles there, which I'm assuming that probably all of you do, you'll notice that one of the verses that we have there starts off verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And then he says, the Lord is at hand. And in our haste, perhaps to get to Paul's exhortation not to be anxious about anything, maybe we skip over that particular phrase. Now, some commentators, when they have read that, think that perhaps the Apostle Paul is talking about the return of Christ and the imminence of Christ's return. And we certainly do look forward to that time when Christ will return and that everything that we're dealing with, coronaviruses and every other issue, every other problem, every other sin that we're dealing with will be transformed in the blink of an eye. But the other alternative in terms of looking at this phrase is we can think of it in terms of God's abiding presence or Christ's abiding presence with us. And here, I think because the Apostle Paul goes on and he talks about our own hearts and our own anxieties, and he talks about prayer, is my inclination to see this as being what the Apostle Paul is really addressing in this particular occasion. And I think that's really important for us today. One of the things perhaps that the virus has reminded us of is that there are many things in this world that really are beyond our control. The problem today, of course, is that there are many, even Christians as well as most non-Christians, is that we tend to think like either deists or atheists. The deism, of course, is the idea that God has created the universe, but he's distant. He's sitting off in some far corner. And he says, okay, the world is yours now. I'm done. You run it, and you're on your own, so don't bother me anymore. And so what we find, of course, is that we have doctors and we have scientists that are out there scrambling as hard as they can to come up with an answer to the virus that we have at hand. And yet we find that the response, the answer, is elusive to us at this juncture. And the rest of us, of course, are in a panic, hoping that we won't test positive after we go to the grocery store. Well, atheists, in contrast to deists, they just remove God from the picture altogether. And I hate to say that I was watching the ABC National News the other night, and David Muir was on, the ABC News anchor, and at the conclusion, he was hoping to give some sense of positive spin on things, and there were two young men that were singing a hymn that was composed by John Lennon. And you perhaps know the hymn, the song, it's not a hymn, a song that I'm thinking about. It's the hymn, the song Imagine. And imagine there's no heaven, above us only sky, no hell beneath us. It's easy if we try. And I have to tell you that I became angry at that because I thought to myself, that is no answer. That's no response for us. Certainly as Christians, to think that maybe there isn't even a God and that God's not a part of the picture and that all of our faith is useless, it is in vain. What hope is there in that? There is no hope in that. And of course, an outflow of atheistic thinking is what we would call existentialism, which puts a negative spin on the fact that there is no God. And Woody Allen, the actor, once made the statement that, well, our number just came up in a slot machine. And so, according to an existentialist, maybe this is it for the human race. We've just run out of quarters. We've run out of time. And so all we're left with is a pessimistic worldview. and there is no hope in that. But the message on the Bible, in the Bible, of course, on the other hand, is completely different. And time and again throughout the scriptures, what do we find is that God is real, that God is here with us, that God is present, that God is involved. I think of the psalmist, for example, just as a case in point, Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And he's near to us even in the circumstances that we deal with in our day and age today, whether it would be a pandemic or whether it would be a diagnosis of cancer or whether it would be a child that we find out is on drugs or whether we find that our marriage is falling apart around us. The fact of the matter is that God is very real, that God is here with us. And he hasn't left us alone. And the very fact that God sent his own son, Jesus Christ, into this world to tabernacle with us, and to die for us, excuse my the emotions of the moment, is this not proof that God really is active and that he's with us in the circumstances of this life? And so, of course, then the challenge for us is to learn to trust him in the difficult times, to learn to trust him in the difficult times. And that's our second point. The Bible, of course, points out in no uncertain terms that God is God, that he's a sovereign God, that he knows all things, that God controls every detail of life around us. You think about the psalmist again, Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. We jump on down a little further. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. We read a little further, that your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. The fact of the matter is that God has numbered the very days of our lives, each and every one of us. And there is absolutely nothing, whether it's a virus such as the coronavirus or any other situation in life, that can alter that reality. Charlene is sending out a newsletter that maybe you've gotten it via email. I don't know if she's sent it out yet or will send it out later today or tomorrow. And she's got a short article in there by Mike Emlett. Mike Emlett is a believer. He's a Christian. He's a medical doctor. And he's the director of faculty at the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation and an elder in his church down in Philadelphia. And he quotes a question and answer from the Heidelberg Catechism. And I would like to draw, of course, we've been working as a congregation over the past couple of years from the Heidelberg Catechism and questions number 27 and 28. What do you understand by the providence of God? God's providence is his almighty and ever-present power, whereby, as with his hand, he still upholds heaven and earth and all creatures, and so governs them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. And then the next question we read, what does it benefit us to know that God has created all things and still upholds them by his providence? And the answer to that is we can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and with a view to the future, we can have a firm confidence in our faithful God and Father that no creature shall separate us from his love, for all creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they cannot so much as move. And so you see the point there. But the thing is that for us, in the issues of the day, the thing is that for us, it can be hard to trust him in the midst of a crisis. And all we have to do, of course, is to think about, for example, to think about the Israelites when they were first led out of Egypt and God brought them out of their captivity after sending through the plagues through Egypt and sending through the presence of the Lord, the angel of death, to go into the homes and to smite the homes of those who did not belong to the Lord. And then they wandered through the wilderness, and God led them to a little peninsula that stuck out into the middle of the Red Sea there, and they were boxed in on all sides. And the next thing they knew, here they had the Egyptian army pressing down upon them, and they were in a panic. And Pharaoh said, they're wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and I will pursue them and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. But it wasn't just the Egyptians that knew that God was the Lord. It was the Israelites too that knew that God was the Lord, that the Lord was God, that he was their God. And you see, this, of course, is where faith takes on real meaning, isn't it? Too often I find that people, the way they look at faith, it has, it seems to be nothing more than presumption, that the assumption that somehow or other that God is our errand boy, that God is our bellhop, that God is the one who will carry our bags up to our room for us if we give him a little tip. But this has nothing to do with real biblical faith, does it? The first thing we need to realize is that faith ultimately comes from God. It's a gift from God, but God gives it to us to exercise in order that might increase, and we put it into practice. Faith is an active thing. And so what we find, of course, is the Apostle Paul couples anxiety, the lack of anxiety, with prayer and supplication. Because he goes on here, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is not waking God up. God is not asleep. And we have to, like the prophets of Baal, try to make as much noise as possible to get God, arouse God out of his slumbers. Prayer is not getting God to change his mind, to get him to do something that we want him to do because it's part of our agenda. Rather, prayer is seeking God's face and learning to trust him in the circumstances at hand, because he is God, and because we know that God is a good God, and that he cares for us, and that God has our best interest in mind, no matter what the circumstances. But it also means knowing that we have access to his presence through his Son, Jesus Christ. We call him our Father, even as Jesus had taught his disciples to pray, our Father who art in heaven, Or the Apostle Paul speaks of calling God Abba, Father. And so our greatest source of strength is knowing that God loves us and that we rest in the palm of His hand. And so I ask, should not a pandemic, a virus pandemic, drive us to more fervent prayer? I'm not just talking about going through the religious motions, but I'm talking about a deep, intentional crying out to God, even as the psalmist in Psalm 86. The psalmist says, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day." Give ear, O Lord, jumping down to those verses that Bob read for our call to worship. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and listen to my plea for grace. In the day of trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your strength. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. It's crying out to God, knowing that our lives really belong to Him. Our hope is in Him. Our future is in Him. Everything that we have is His and in Him. These really are unsettling times for all of us. Unsettling times for you. They're unsettling times for me. They're unsettling times for our neighbors. They're unsettling times for the people who live on the other side of the world. We long for the downhill side of the curve, as they say. We long for light at the end of the tunnel, when things might be normal, when we can be without fear, when we can gather not just in our own living rooms, in front of our computer screens or our cell phone screens, but we can gather together in one another's, in fellowship with one another over in our building to worship God together. But there will always be other things too, and not just a virus pandemic. There will be diagnoses of cancer. There will be economies that take a nosedive. There will be those who lose their jobs. And the list goes on and on and on. And we wonder, is God really here? Does God understand? Does God care? And so I remind you of the 2 points this morning, that God is not absent, that the Lord is near. And that's why, you see, that's why the Lord is at hand to not be anxious about anything, because the Lord is at hand. And so this is an opportunity, of course, for us to learn to trust Him in the difficult times. But I also want to point out, and I think it's been pointed out already this morning, an article that perhaps you got by Paul Tripp that was sent out via email just last week, that this is an opportunity for the gospel too, because you see, people's hearts really are unsettled right now, aren't they? And perhaps maybe this is one of the strongest testimonies that we have as the church. You know, it's during times of testing and during times of persecution and during times of tribulation that the church experiences its greatest growth and that people come to a saving relationship with Christ, because they realize that maybe, just maybe, there is something that is of more substance than those things that have only to do with me and my wants and my desires and my own personal entertainment. People see us, folks. Your neighbors see us. and we may be more visible than we think. And so I would encourage each and every one of us to pray that God would use us. We have been praying for revival in our land. Is this the price that it takes for revival? Is this the price that it takes for a spiritual awakening? Perhaps. We don't know. But we know that God is with us, that the Lord is near. And may our lives reflect the confidence that we have in Him. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this was something that we never predicted and never anticipated. And yet here we have it. And we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds for any of us as individuals. We don't know what next week holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds for our nation or for our world, or how many people will die. But what we can know is that you are God and that you are near to us, that you are not absent, that you are not just a figment of our imagination. But our hope and our trust is in you. So, Lord, teach us to trust you. And may we be faithful in prayer. In Jesus' name.